Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. Idea Talks is a monthly conversation with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. For more information on this podcast and others, visit joshtice.com.
I love the example of Esther in the Bible, right? When she prepared the feast, she didn't ask what she wanted the first time. She got them drunk and she got them fat.
Yep.
And then she got them drunk and fat again.
Yeah.
And then she asked.
Smart.
That's smart.
Yeah.
There's a way to pave a conversation before just launching into it.
That's right. You give them as much Welch's as possible. Here's the big idea for today's episode. You don't have to be afraid of having that very uncomfortable conversation. Even if you don't consider yourself a confrontational person, you can do this, and we're going to show you how.
Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. It's you and me today.
Just you and me.
Just you and me.
Yeah,
just the two of us.
Just, I don't want to sing.
That's all right. You don't have to.
The last episode we had somebody.
We did.
And then the next episode we have somebody.
Uh-huh.
But today's just you and me.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant conversation.
Today's topic, we're talking about conversations, and specifically maybe some more difficult conversations you have to have.
Yeah, don't be afraid. Have the conversation. I mean, you might not be the most confrontational person in the world, and that's fine. I'm genuinely not a confrontational person. I like to smile, and I like to get along with people if I can.
Yeah.
But sometimes you are thrust into uncomfortable conversations, and sometimes you have to choose to walk into a conversation that's uncomfortable. And you don't need to be afraid. You can do this.
There's a spectrum here where you are going to make a case saying there's two opposite ends of the pendulum, saying there's you'd prefer to fight when it comes to a conflict, or there is flight, you'd rather run away.
Yeah.
And along that, there's 100 different types of personalities and people that go along with that.
Yeah, it's a spectrum, not necessarily 2 points.
Yeah.
But somewhere along that, you might say, I'm really not very confrontational, but if I have to, I'll address an issue. So you're somewhere on the spectrum, but I think that's part of it, identifying where you're at on that spectrum.
Yeah, and what, you know, some things maybe tip you off more than others, where you run to it, or others you run away from it, depending on what it is. And I think knowing where to pick your battles here is pretty appropriate as well.
And these battles are going to be big for a lot of people because it's back to school time. I mean, you are about to put your kids back into school. Maybe you already did. And maybe you're a teacher and you're listening to this and you realize I'm going to have some uncomfortable conversations with some kids or some parents. Or maybe you're a principal and you have to talk to some teachers, or maybe you're a pastor and you're like, oh man, they're all coming back from vacation. I got to talk to some people.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about this scenario?
Yeah.
You can do this. So to begin, confrontational conversations are a reality. This we have to get our minds around. And like I said, there are two kinds. There are the kind of conversations that you initiate. You have a problem with somebody else and it's time to have that conversation. And there's the kind that others initiate. Someone else has a problem with you and you find yourself in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Now, again, on this this scale, there are people who love confrontations. They are they're ready, man.
Like they're running around with a rule book, so to speak, waiting for something to happen.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is where they come alive, baby. Yeah. Have you ever met somebody like this?
Oh yeah.
they're a good time, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're not necessarily always close to people. People get really nervous around them.
Yeah.
They're close to a few people because in their minds they've not tried to be super confrontational with 2, 3, 4, 5 people in their life because they want a few relationships. But these are the type of people that they love confrontation.
Yeah, some people will say they'd rather be right than rather be liked.
Yeah, I have never heard that, but that makes sense.
People pleasing, what have you. Or the opposite, where they're the standard of justice. You know? So again, it goes back to what kind of personality you are and kind of where you're at on this spectrum.
And what I think is important is that you know your predilection, right? Are you fight? Are you flight? When it comes to fight, I'm ready for a fight and prepared with this argument. I'm ready to go. Or are you flight? I'm scared to death and I would rather live and let live. Some people think on the spectrum, there's like this beautiful, perfect middle ground called sarcasm.
Or passive aggressivism.
Passive aggressive snide remarks. No,
sure.
Yeah. They're like, I'm not fight. I'm not flight. I'm just going to be extremely passive aggressive and snide. And look, that's just cowardly.
Sure.
That's not helpful to anyone. If you feel something that needs to be said, then figure out a good way to say it. Or if you feel like something doesn't need to be said, then just shut your mouth.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about snide remarks, sarcasm, or that kind of thing. We think there's a better way than fight or flight. And what we'd like to propose is polite and forthright.
I like that.
How about that?
It's good.
Because it rhymes.
It does.
It rhymes not only with itself, it rhymes with fight or flight. I'm pretty proud of that.
You should. Did you come up with that?
I did. I sat in a Starbucks for several hours.
I love that.
With a rhyme book. I actually did. I did not with a rhyme book.
Plight, right, fight.
Yeah, white. I looked on a rhyme website for that, actually.
Okay. That's fantastic.
So it's not fight or flight. It's polite and forthright. What do we mean? It's really answering this question. And this is important for someone listening to this right now. Is it possible to be 100% honest and 100% respectful at the same time?
Yeah, we talk a lot about being filled with grace and truth.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're the fight person, you need to be more filled with grace.
Mm.
And if you're the flight person, you might need to be more filled with truth.
Right.
When you're in an egg toss, it's better to lob the egg than to chunk it at someone's head. So it's the same rules apply to a conversation that might be difficult.
You can throw the egg, just how do you throw the egg?
I'll never forget the first time I gave a difficult conversation to a boss that I had. Thought about the conversation, it needed to be addressed. And I thought, honestly, probably like a week about this conversation. But you know what I forgot?
No.
The opening line.
Oh, no.
And the opening line came across very accusatory. So I had all these detailed plans and like outlines of like the case I was going to make and that kind of stuff and like what was happening and how it affected me and my company and that kind of stuff. But I forgot the first opening line that I would say. And it was a train wreck because the first line of the introduction to the conversation was just horrible. I love the example of Esther in the Bible, right? When she prepared the feast, she didn't ask what she wanted the first time. She got them drunk and she got them fat.
Yep, yep.
And then she got them drunk and fat again.
Yeah.
And then she asked.
Smart.
That's smart.
Yeah.
And it's a pattern of, you know, there's a way to pave a conversation before just launching into it.
That's right. You give them as much Welch's as possible. and as much food as possible.
Sure, yeah.
And then they're there. No, you're exactly right. So you might be thinking to yourself, what potential problematic conversations will I have in the future? And that is there all sorts.
A lot, yeah.
There are a lot. And I don't think I necessarily need to walk through these, but here are a few. Your supervisor is expressing unreasonable expectations. You don't have to live there. You say, it's just the way it is. No. You don't have to live there. If there are unreasonable expectations presented to you by your supervisor, then you need to have a uncomfortable conversation. Maybe you have a subordinate who's not achieving pre-established benchmarks. I mean, you've put it out there over and over again. And we think, well, that's just the way it is. And then we think, well, maybe just people are not going to be good in this. And it's on me. No, there's an uncomfortable conversation that needs to take place. My coworker smells like garlic cheese cream. Cream cheese. No, but seriously, there's some kind of a sanitary issue.
Sure.
With you. What do you do, man?
Yeah.
Like, how do you have that conversation? And that happens every day. Or maybe as a Christian, maybe as a pastor, your brother in Christ is living in sin.
Hmm.
What do you do? Or maybe that student is seriously disrupting the classroom. What do you do? That parent could dramatically improve that child's participation if they just spent time with the child. How do you say that without saying, you're a terrible parent, or just running away from the conversation? So we are faced with these uncomfortable, problematic conversations every days of our life. And the question is, how do we handle these appropriately? Okay, so let's talk about those two different kinds. That's the rest of the podcast. The kind that others initiate. So I want to talk about, first of all, the uncomfortable conversation that you're having because you just arrived in it. Like, poof, you didn't know. I mean, you just got back from tacos and you're about to finish up your workday. Everything's fine. You know, sun is shining and you're smiling and things are great. And somebody comes and they've got a big problem with you and you can immediately sense, I am in an uncomfortable conversation.
These hit you all the worst times, right? So like if you're an hourly employee, like and you're like about to clock out in 5 minutes, it's going to happen.
Right.
This is
when it happens.
Yeah. Or like, you know, you're getting ready to leave for your family for the day. And like all of a sudden you're like, I got a problem with you, right?
Yep.
We talk a lot in my organization about audience and attitude. So in other words, like who's listening to this conversation? You can tell me almost anything you want in private. Whatever it is, right? But if you say it in front of 10 other people, we're going to talk. or attitude, right? So like, yeah. How are you conveying this information? Are you attacking a problem or are you attacking me?
Man, that is good.
Because it's different, right? Yeah. So like, if you're frustrated at something, whether it's a customer or another employee, like, it's okay. But when you're coming after me personally and attacking my character or something I did,
this is too much.
It's a totally different conversation.
Yeah.
Because one, I can help you. I can navigate it with you forward. But like, if you're attacking me, like, okay, like,
where do we go from here?
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. So like, where's the attitude? So
when you find yourself in this situation, okay, they're coming at you. They've got a problem with you. Here's a few thoughts, okay, to begin. Number one, take note of the warning signs. Like, note it in them and in yourself. You say, what warning signs? Your heart starts beating faster. Your face starts turning redder. Your blood pressure starts getting higher. You're like, okay, ooh, okay, what am I going to do here? And fight or flight is right there overlooking your shoulder. What do you do, okay? Then you take a breath. Calm down. It's fine. You're not about to die. There's no guillotine at the end of this. You're going to be alive. And then you look for their emotional condition. Yeah, begin by asking yourself this question. Once you calm down, begin asking yourself. Listen immediately what they're saying. Look for their emotional condition. Are they angry? Are they afraid? Are they hurt? Something's going on. Why for the emotion? As a pastor, especially those that are pastors that are listening to this, okay, you have to not check your pastoral heart at the door when in these. So you have a church member, they're coming at you. Stop and ask yourself, what is this little lamb feeling? They're feeling something. Mm-hmm. And then if they're angry, then it helps you understand, okay, I've been angry before. They're hurt. What are they hurt about? What have they been through in their past that's repeating? What are they so afraid of? Something's going on here. And if you can stop and calm yourself down and then ask yourself, okay, what's their emotional condition? Then you can move to the last step, and that is speak. Okay, what do you speak? What do you say? And I've got a few thoughts on what you can say.
Yeah, I think when you speak, the biggest thing is to make sure you don't rise to their level of emotion.
Yeah, talk about that.
So for me, I handle this all the time, right? So whether it's a difficult customer or upset employee, whatever, right? Like, I am known for like Jedi mind tricks where like I literally speak in a lower register. So like my normal auditory, like, you know, volume in speaking is like this. But when I'm talking, I'll probably go down like this. Right. Like, so like, what are you actually saying right now?
So when you have a customer that's about to lose their mind because something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're in the tech field. So people get frustrated with their technology.
Sure. And you know, often it's a noisy environment. Like, I don't have control of like what's around me, but like I speak softly to them. So like, if they're going to listen and actually want to talk to me, they're going to have to lean in. Right. And no grown man, if you lean in, is going to actually be in your face yelling at you unless it's like truly heated and they're actually upset at you.
Yeah.
Most of the time they'll match you and they'll actually come down.
That's awesome.
So for me, like, it's all about not rising. And that's tough. Cause if you address the emotion and get up to their level, like, you've lost it already.
Man, I'm telling you, I've been in that scenario. I've been in that scenario with my dearest friends, coworkers. I've been in that scenario with Fred and Heather and Jason and their wives and my pastoral teams of the past and even now. And you do, man, you want to match the emotional state of where they're at. And if maybe you're the one leading and you're up here, you're upset. And then all of a sudden they get upset too. And it's a bad scenario.
This is something too, just practically, like, if possible, it's not always possible. Sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down next to the person. Like, literally, cause like, especially if you're a taller person, sit down on their level and get down to them.
Yeah.
Cause that way it puts you both on the, like, physically on the same plane.
I agree. I think that's beautiful. So what do you say? Okay. If you're calmed down, emotions are settled. What do you say to this person? They are attacking you. At least that's what it feels like. They're coming to you with an uncomfortable conversation. What do you do? Here's what you speak. First of all, speak affirmation of respect and relationship. First, I want to thank you for taking time. I respect you and I'm thankful for this relationship. You don't have to say it in those words, but basically what you're saying is, before we go any further, I just want to tell you, thank you that you're coming to me. And I want you to know that I'm glad that we're talking because I have a lot of respect for you. And this relationship is incredibly important to me. So you might be thinking, there are bigger things at stake than the relationship. For example, my job's on the line, or their job's on the line, or my children's future, or the kingdom of God. No. The most important thing that's at stake is the relationship. And if you're putting other things above the relationship, you've already lost it. Mm-hmm. Relationship is so important. People feel safe when they know that your primary concern is that you're going to have a strong relationship moving forward. So I would say when you speak, affirm, first of all, respect and affirmation and relationship. Secondly, seek clarity on core concerns. You say, what do you mean? Clarity on core concerns. First, I want to thank you for taking the time. I respect you and thankful for your relationship. Secondly, I believe that you're telling me that I need to stop discussing my Netflix queue with you. I now understand that you aren't as interested in Marvel Cinematic Universe as I am.
Sure.
Okay. The idea is tell them that you've hurt them. Mm-hmm. What you're telling them is, look, I think I see what you're saying.
Sure.
What you're saying is, I need to stop this. Just because they are addressing you in a wrong way doesn't mean what they're saying to you is wrong. Again, just because they're addressing you in an inappropriate way doesn't mean what they're saying to you is inappropriate or wrong. Yep. It might be absolutely true. And the reason they're upset, maybe they're angry, maybe they're frustrated, maybe they're hurt, is because of what you've been doing.
Sure.
So stop and say, okay, I see what you're saying. I hear you. I respect you. I want this relationship to be strong. And I see what your core concerns are.
When you're acknowledging their emotion and saying, like, I can tell you're frustrated.
Yeah.
And then you restate back to them what they just said, it tells them that you actually heard them.
Yeah. This works in counseling so well. If you're listening to this podcast and I've ever counseled you as a pastor, you'll notice, you'll look back and say, oh, yeah, he's done that with me. And it is just that a lot of times counseling is sitting there and repeating back to the person exactly what they said, just in a different way. And then suddenly you become a person that hears them. And it's true because people, they want to be heard. And most of the time when somebody's in an uncomfortable situation, they've brought you into this and they're ready to attack.
Yeah.
They really have a message that they want to get across. If they feel like their message has gotten across, most of the work is already done.
The other thing too is when you restate it back to them, sometimes just the ludicrousy of it, them hearing it, changes their mind, honestly.
Right.
So I'm hearing what you're saying. This is what you're saying. You say, you want me to get rid of my entire television set because you never want me to watch a Marvel movie.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, that's not what I'm saying. Come on. That's not what I'm saying.
And they backtrack.
Right. Yeah. And then that, I think that's what leads into the next statement. The next statement as you're speaking is, lastly, I've heard what you're saying and I believe and I understand your point of view. I will take some serious time. And I think this is key. I've heard you. I've repeated back to you that I've heard you. And this has helped me so many times. I would like to take some serious time to consider what you've discussed with me, and I will get back with you. The final thing you do is you schedule a conclusion meeting. You say, okay, so I get it, I hear it, and I really am glad that you talked with me about it. I'd like to bring this back up again. Now, if you work together, whatever it is, it might be the next day, it might be next week, it might be 2 weeks from now, but you're telling them I'm going to take some. You're not saying I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're not admitting, okay, everything, I'm a terrible person, please forgive me. You're saying, I hear you. Let me have some time to think about this. Here's why. When you get put into an uncomfortable conversation with an individual and they're the one that brought you in, they've had a lot of time to think about it and you haven't. And so you're on an unequal, unfair platform at this point. What you need to do is stop and give yourself a little bit of breathing room so that you can be on an equal footing whenever you come back into that conversation. You do not want to agree to anything. And in that moment, you need to take some time.
It's good. I think I'm reminded of a story my grandfather told me. He used to be a preacher. He's gone with the Lord to be a Lord at this point. But most people, he said, would, you know, relied on their pastor so much that where like he was the ultimate, you know, resolve for resolving conflicts, right? He had a couple call him in the middle of the night saying they were fighting. And he says, okay, are you guys in the house together? Yes. Is everybody safe? Yes. Do you have your Bible with you? Yes. Read it and I'll call you in the morning. And hung up.
That's awesome.
And literally, you know, it's just empowering them back to make sure like, hey, like I'm not the end all be all here.
Yeah.
And like often what is their emergency is not necessarily, it doesn't have to be solved right now in the moment.
Totally.
So
I agree. So you say, okay, that's what I do when somebody else puts me in this situation. What do I do when I'm the person who has to make that conversation? Now, I know some of you that are really non-confrontational. You're like, then you don't do it.
Yeah.
You don't have that conversation.
At all costs, keep peace.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Why would you do this when you can just go home and have dinner? And the answer is because some conversations have to be had.
Right.
You're in a situation where you have to have that conversation. So this is what you do. When you're in a situation where you have to initiate this, you have a problem with someone and you need to deal with it, I say...
Now, some of you just got giddy.
Yeah, some of you
some
guys...
of you just got giddy, I'll be honest, that are listening to this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here we go. What do I do?
Yeah. Like, they're energized by it. Yeah. But other people are like, oh, rather just go into hibernation and change my visa and citizenship to another country.
Yeah, you don't have to leave the country. Yeah. You can have this conversation. And it's as simple as sticking to the facts.
Yeah.
You say, what do you mean sticking to the facts? I want to give you, I'm going to break it down, very preacher way here, F-A-C-T. And by the way, I came up with this. How about that?
There you go.
F-A-C-T, stick to the facts. Okay, again, how do I remember this? When you're going into this situation, okay, I've got to deal with this person's issue. Okay, stick to the facts, F-A-C-T. Number one, F, forethought. The best thing to do is write out your thoughts before you ever go in. Now, I'm not saying bring in those written thoughts. Take some time. Don't enter in that conversation that could be potentially life-changing for this individual without having put some forethought into it. And for me, what really works is writing it out. Okay, I'm really going to think through what I'm going to say to this person. I know some of us like to fly by the seat of our pants. Ah, we'll be fine in the moment. Don't do that to them. They deserve better than that. If it's important enough for you to address this crucial, important conversation, then spend enough time thinking through what you're going to actually say.
Another way to say this, that like in leadership development, is called visualization. So whether it's an interview, whether it's a difficult conversation, you're literally visualizing and or voicing out what potentially might happen in the moment and what their response is. So you're not blindsided by something that's going to happen in the future because you're there. Like you've already done it.
You've already been there. Yeah. Spend some forethought.
I heard about this. Michael Phelps recently and, you know, gold medalist, right? Like from all the past. And like his coach was speaking about his swim day ritual, right? And the fact is, like, he won the gold medal 1,000 times already in his head over because he'd visualized it 1,000 times over and over again on the day that he swam. So, like, he's already passed it, the perfect lap, the perfect form, the perfect, like, you know, everything, the entry into the water, the exit, everything. And that's, like, the key. Like, if you're going into a conversation, you're like, I'm going to fly by the seat of the pants and the Holy Spirit blesses it. Like,
no.
Maybe.
Come on, man.
That's not wise.
I totally agree. The next is A, forethought. A, atmosphere. Attempt to make the other person feel safe.
Hmm.
You can control that atmosphere. So instead of being that person who's lost their mind, they're like, hey, I finally deal with this issue. Hmm. Okay. You've put forethought into it, and then you've established a nice safe place to have this conversation. Why is that important? Because you're about to address some very serious issues in their life, whatever that might be. You're about to talk to them about their child. How dare you talk to them about their child? You better make sure that you've put them in a safe place to do that. So how have you set that atmosphere? How have you set it up? You mentioned this a moment ago with Esther. She really, truly set the atmosphere before she really got to the big point. And I think that's incredibly important. Then letter C, clarity. So forethought, atmosphere, clarity. In this, there's several ways you need to be very clear in what you say. State clearly the problem you have with them. State clearly what is not the problem. And state clearly the desired outcome that you both really want. Okay, let me walk you through. When I say clarity, state clearly what the problem is. Here is my problem. The problem that you're in is that you're living with your girlfriend and you're not married. Now, the problem is not that I don't love you. And the problem is not that I don't respect you. You're an incredible man who makes good money and leads this incredible business. And the problem is not that I don't think you love Jesus. You got saved and baptized. These are not the problems. When you're clearly stating what is not the problem, it allows you to focus on the problem. And this is a big issue when it comes to these kind of conversations. The assumptions that people are making when you're coming after them about something specific is they're assuming, oh, you don't respect me at all. Oh, you think I'm a terrible person. No, that's not true. I think you're a wonderful person who has this one particular problem that needs to be addressed. This is the one particular problem. And when you're very clear about it, then you can state clearly the desired outcome. What I hope for you is that you can be restored in a good marital relationship so that God can be pleased with that relationship and he can bless you and your family. And this is what I see for your future. So it's not just visualizing yourself like Phelps in the future. You're actually visualizing for them and giving them a visual and a hope. So that's letter C, clarity.
Yeah, I think part of these conversations when they go wrong is like you muddy your words. Mm-hmm. You beat around the bush. You don't clearly state the actual problem. And like the person, you're talking to the person for 10 minutes and they're like, what are you trying to tell me? Right? And or you go to the conversation, you butter them up so much that when you start to actually give them the, you know, this negative thing that's happening, they're like, oh, I don't understand what you're actually trying to tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to clarity, it's funny. I was talking with our team about this not too long ago that I work with. I don't do well with sarcasm, not in a work setting. I really don't. Because Fred says, I don't understand it. And so years ago, this is literally what he said to me a couple weeks ago. He said, I gave up being sarcastic with you years ago because I don't think you understand sarcasm like normal humans. I take personal offense at sarcasm. Mm. And you say, oh, come on, have a thicker skin. I really try to. I'm a fun guy. I like to have fun. But when I'm in work mode, in serious mode, I really don't do well with sarcasm. I take all sarcasm as literal, and I have a really hard time. And so the point is, when we've had those conversations, they have to be very clear with me on what they're saying, and I have to be very clear with them that I need clarity from them. Otherwise it goes all over the place. What's the actual problem? Is what you're sharing with me just the tip of an iceberg, or are you sharing with me the real situation?
Yeah.
And so being honest enough to say, I need to bring some clarity to this. And that's why I think it's important to state what the real problem is and what is not the problem. I am not telling you that I feel like you have seven other issues.
Sure.
I'm telling you, I feel like you have this one issue. Let's deal with this one issue.
Yeah.
And then after this issue is dealt with, we're 100% back on page.
If you're a person that kind of avoids conflict, that's going to be a challenge for you as well. Because if you don't address one thing, you could, once you actually lead up to the moment of conversation, at that point you have a bucket full of problems that you're trying to address.
As
opposed to keeping short lists or even small, like one thing. As opposed to like when you actually have enough courage to address the conversation, it's like you're unloading this boatload of things that have built up over time. And that's not good either. So if you're a person who kind of avoids conflict, you need to watch out for that.
Now, what about that person who's thinking, oh man, I've got that conversation with this one person, but there's like 12 things I need to deal with. Well, what do you do in that scenario?
What's the most important?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think we're 100% on the same page. What is the big issue?
Right.
Don't bring up the 11 other things. In fact, visualize yourself and plan and write out that I'm not going to bring up number 2 through 12.
Sure.
I'm only going to focus on this one issue that we have.
I think this point too can be helpful because, again, going back to your prior point about the conversation that people come to you with, there is the same spectrum for them. So like we addressed it from the angle of like everybody comes to you with a heated argument, the fight people, but they also could, like the flight people could come to you too.
Yes.
With a conflict, and they're kind of scared to bring it up.
Yeah.
So like you might have to kind of restate and help them along the situation. Like, look, I can tell you when to tell me something and there's something going on. Like, just tell me, it's fine. You're not going to offend me or whatever. Like, I just need to know.
Yeah.
So you need them to provide the clarity for you. So then you can actually 100%. Go for it. So it's vice versa, but yeah.
So this is what you do. When you have to initiate one of these conversations, forethought, atmosphere, clarity. And lastly, when you stick to the facts, T, terms. You say, what do you mean terms? Clearly outline the steps necessary to arrive at your desired outcome. Look, we both want to keep working together. Look, we both want you to keep walking with the Lord and being part of this church. Look, we both want your child to be able to do well this year in school. This is what we both want. To get there, I think the steps are this step first, this step second, this step third, this step fourth. And when you're able to do that, man, you are in a situation where you have effectively at least had that first initial very, very uncomfortable conversation. So don't be afraid. You can have this conversation. These aren't all the communication techniques. I think we got another episode coming down a ways that we're going to talk about some more communication techniques. But we want to encourage you. You don't have to be afraid of that important conversation. By the way, a great book on this, if you'd like to study further, is called Crucial Conversations. Fantastic resource that talks a little bit about some of the things we've talked about.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.